This episode of the Ortho Bullets podcast will go over the topic of gait cycle from the foot and ankle section on orthobullets.com. One gait cycle is measured from heel strike to heel strike and consists of the stance phase and the swing phase. The stance phase is the period of time that the foot is on the ground, and approximately 60% of one gait cycle is spent in the stance phase. During stance, the leg accepts body weight and provides single limb support. The swing phase is the period of time that the foot is off the ground moving forward, and approximately 40% of one gait cycle is spent in the swing phase. Remember that in the swing phase, the limb advances. Stride is defined as the distance between consecutive initial contacts of the same foot with the ground. A step is the distance between initial contacts of the alternating feet. Now let's go over the stance phase in a bit more detail. We'll talk about the initial contact or heel strike, the loading response or initial double limb support, mid-stance for single limb support, terminal stance for single limb support, and pre-swing for a second double limb support. So initial contact or heel strike is defined as when the foot comes into contact with the ground. With respect to muscular contractions during the initial contact or heel strike, the hip extensors contract to stabilize the hip, the quadriceps contract eccentrically, and the tibialis anterior also contracts eccentrically. Moving on to the loading response, or the initial double limb support, this marks the beginning of the initial double limb stance. The loading response, or initial double limb support, occurs after initial contact until elevation of the opposite limb. Body weight is transferred onto the supporting limb. As far as muscular contractions during the loading response or initial double limb support, the ankle dorsiflexors from the tibialis anterior contract eccentrically to control plantar flexion moment. Again, the ankle dorsiflexors from the tibialis anterior contract eccentrically to control plantar flexion moment during the loading response. The quads contract to stabilize the knee and counteract the flexion moment about the knee. Again, the quads contract to stabilize the knee and counteract the flexion moment about the knee. Mid-stance is the initial period of single leg support and is defined from elevation of the opposite limb until both ankles are aligned in the coronal plane. As far as muscular contractions in mid-stance, the gluteus medius and calf muscles undergo eccentric contraction. Again, muscular contractions during mid-stance involve the gluteus medius and calf muscles undergoing eccentric contraction. Terminal stance begins when the supporting heel rises from the ground and continues until the opposite heel touches the ground. As far as muscular contractions during terminal stance, toe flexors and the tibialis posterior contract and are the most active during this phase. Finally, pre-swing is the start of the second double limb stance in the gait cycle. This is defined from initial contact of the opposite limb to just prior to elevation of the ipsilateral limb. As far as muscular contractions during pre-swing, the hip flexors contract to propel the advancing limb. Now let's talk about the swing phase in a bit more detail. We'll talk about initial swing or toe off, mid-swing or foot clearance, and terminal swing, otherwise known as tibia vertical. So initial swing or toe off is the start of the single limb support for the opposite limb. It is defined as elevation of the limb to the point of maximal knee flexion. As far as the muscular contractions in initial swing, the hip flexors concentrically contract to advance the swinging leg. Moving on to mid-swing or foot clearance, this is defined as following knee flexion to the point where the tibia is vertical. As far as muscular contractions during mid-swing, the ankle dorsiflexors contract to ensure foot clearance. Finally, terminal swing or tibia vertical is defined from the point where the tibia is vertical to just prior to initial contact. As far as muscular contractions during terminal swing, the hamstring muscles decelerate forward motion of the thigh. Now let's talk about some variables affected during gait cycle. We'll talk about pelvic rotation, pelvic tilt, knee flexion and stance, foot mechanisms, knee mechanisms, lateral displacement of the pelvis, as well as the center of gravity. As far as pelvic rotation, the pelvis rotates 4 degrees medially or anteriorly on the swing side. Again, the pelvis rotates 4 degrees medially or anteriorly on the swing side, and this lengthens the limb as it prepares to accept weight. As far as pelvic tilt, the pelvis drops 4 degrees on the swing side. This lowers the center of gravity at mid-stance. Again, as far as pelvic tilt, the pelvis drops 4 degrees on the swing side and lowers the center of gravity at mid-stance. As far as knee flexion and stance, early knee flexion is 15 degrees at heel strike. Again, early knee flexion is 15 degrees at heel strike, and this lowers the center of gravity, decreasing energy expenditure, and this also absorbs the shock of heel strike. With respect to foot mechanisms, there is ankle plantar flexion at heel strike and the first part of the stance phase. Again, as far as foot mechanisms, there's ankle plantar flexion at heel strike and the first part of the stance phase. With respect to knee mechanisms, at mid-stance, the knee extends as the ankle plantar flexes and the foot supinates. Again, at mid-stance, the knee extends as the ankle plantar flexes and the foot supinates. This restores the leg to the original length and also reduces the fall of the pelvis at opposite heel strike. As far as lateral displacement of the pelvis shifts over the stance limb, and the center of gravity must lie over the base of support of the stance limb. So again, with respect to lateral displacement of the pelvis shifts over the stance limb, and the center of gravity must lie over the base of support of the stance limb. With respect to center of gravity, in the standing position, the center of gravity is 5 centimeters anterior to the S2 vertebral body. As far as vertical displacement, during the gait cycle, the center of gravity displaces vertically in a rhythmic pattern. The highest point is during mid-stance phase, and the lowest point occurs at the time of double limb support. With respect to horizontal displacement, the center of gravity displaces 5 centimeters horizontally during adult male step. Finally, with respect to muscle activity, be sure to review the figure on orthobullets.com showing muscle activity through different phases of the gait cycle. This topic will be linked up in the show notes. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, during which period of gait does the tibialis anterior contract eccentrically? And the choices are 1, mid-stance, 2, heel strike, 3, pre-swing, 4, initial swing, and 5, mid-swing. The correct answer to this question is 2, heel strike. So at the beginning of heel strike, the tibialis anterior contracts eccentrically while the foot is lowered to the ground. To quickly review, in order to understand pathologic gait disturbances, a thorough understanding of normal gait is necessary. So during initial heel strike, the tibialis anterior contracts eccentrically to assist in limb loading and shock absorption. With mild to moderate weakness in the tibialis anterior, as seen in a peroneal nerve palsy, the foot is not allowed to gradually lower, leading to a, quote, foot slap. During the swing phase, weakness in the tibialis anterior causes a, quote, steppage gait, which involves increased hip and knee flexion in order to clear the foot while it moves forward. Winter et al. Analyzed the gait patterns of 15 normal adults. Through their biochemical analysis, they conclude that rehabilitation of lower extremity injuries should focus on eccentric knee extensor and concentric plantar flexor exercises. Moving on to the next question. Which phase of gait is affected most in a patient with quadriceps atrophy? And the choices are 1, terminal swing, 2, pre-swing, 3, initial swing, 4, mid-stance, and 5, mid-swing. The correct answer to this question is 4, mid-stance. So quadriceps weakness is most likely to affect the stance phase of the gait cycle, making mid-stance the correct answer. During the normal stance phase of gait, the quadriceps contracts to prevent buckling of the knee. In a patient with quadriceps atrophy, the patient leans forward at the hip, causing the center of gravity to fall anterior to the knee. This causes the knee to go into hyperextension. In contrast, weakness of the hamstrings or the hip flexors are most likely to affect the swing phase of gait by limiting limb advancement. Lim et al. Discussed the evaluation of the elderly patient with an abnormal gait. They urged the clinician to identify and treat the cause of the gait disturbance if possible. Common treatable neurologic causes include normal pressure hydrocephalus, vitamin B12 deficiency, Parkinson's, alcoholism, and medication toxicity. Common treatable musculoskeletal causes include cervical myelopathy, spinal stenosis, and contractures. Moving on to the next question. In the swing phase of gait, the leg is carried forward by the momentum generated by which of the following? And the choices are 1, ankle plantar flexors and hip flexors at terminal stance, 2, knee extensors and ankle dorsiflexors at terminal stance. 3, knee flexors and ankle dorsiflexors in early swing. 4, hip flexors and ankle dorsiflexors in early swing. And 5, hip flexors and knee extensors in early swing. The correct answer to this question is 1, ankle plantar flexors and hip flexors at terminal stance. So more muscle activity occurs during stance phase than during swing phase. During stance phase, the muscles of the leg and foot work to stabilize the plantigrade foot. In swing phase, momentum generated by the gastroc soleus and hip flexors at terminal stance carries the leg forward. Knee flexion in early swing and then extension at terminal swing occur passively. The main concentric contraction that occurs during swing phase is that of the anterior tibialis, which dorsiflexes the foot for easier clearance during swing and prepositions the foot for initial contact. Moving on to the next question. What percentage of the gait cycle is spent in the stance phase? And the choices are 1, 20%, 2, 40%, 3, 60%, 4, 80%, and 5, over 90%. The correct answer to this question is 3, 60%. So normal gait is a combination of postures and muscle activities and is divided into two phases, swing and stance. The swing phase accounts for 40% and the stance phase accounts for 60% of the normal gait cycle. The swing phase is divided into three phases, initial, mid-swing, and terminal swing. The stance phase is the longer phase and is divided into five different activities, initial contact, loading response, mid-stance, terminal stance, and pre-swing. Moving on to the next question. Which of the following descriptions of muscle activity during normal gait is correct? And the choices are 1, gastroc soleus contracts eccentrically during heel strike. 2, gastrocnemius soleus contracts concentrically during heel strike. 3, gastrocnemius soleus contracts concentrically during swing phase. 4, tibialis anterior contracts concentrically during toe off. And 5, tibialis anterior contracts eccentrically at heel strike. The correct answer to this question is 5, tibialis anterior contracts eccentrically at heel strike. So one stride, that is heel strike to heel strike of one leg, of normal gait has been divided into the stance phase, making up 62% of the gait cycle, and swing phase, making up 38% of the gait cycle. The stance phase is further divided into heel strike, foot flat, and toe off. Proper gait requires coordinated contraction of the leg muscles. To quickly review, the tibialis anterior muscle fires eccentrically at heel strike to lower the foot to the ground, while the gastroc soleus complex is dormant. The tibialis anterior then relaxes, while the gastroc soleus eccentrically contracts as the body's weight is transferred forward over the foot during foot flat. As the foot propels the body forward during toe off, the gastroc soleus contracts concentrically while the tibialis anterior remains dormant. As swing commences, the tibialis anterior then fires concentrically, producing dorsiflexion to clear the foot over the ground while the gastroc soleus complex relaxes. Certain conditions like cerebral palsy result in improper firing of the muscles during the gait cycle, which results in altered gait mechanics. Moving on to the next question. During the early swing phase of the normal gait cycle, what lower extremity muscle is primarily contracting? And the choices are 1, tibialis posterior, 2, tibialis anterior, 3, vastus medialis, 4, adductor longus, and 5, gastrocnemius. The correct answer to this question is 2, tibialis anterior. So electromyography during walking reveals the tibialis anterior muscle is active during early swing, allowing the foot to clear the ground. All of the other muscles are quiet as the limb moves forward through space with minimal muscular effort. The other muscles are primarily active during weight acceptance or push-off. And moving on to the final question. The primary antagonist of the anterior tibial tendon is innervated by which of the following nerves? And the choices are 1, superficial peroneal nerve, 2, deep peroneal nerve, 3, tibial nerve, 4, posterior tibial nerve, and 5, sural nerve. The correct answer to this question is 1, superficial peroneal nerve. So the primary antagonist of the anterior tibial tendon is the peroneus longus, which is innervated by the superficial peroneal nerve. The peroneus longus and tibialis anterior are antagonists to each other, as the peroneus longus plantar flexes and everts, while the tibialis anterior dorsiflexes and inverts the foot. The peroneus brevis and posterior tibialis are antagonists to each other. The cadaveric study by Silver et al. Found that the plantar flexors of the ankle were 6 times as strong as the dorsiflexors. That's all for this review about the gait cycle. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.